But if we're going to be what Paul says here in the second chapter of Philippians, that we have to be willing to sacrifice. That these individuals up here, there will be sacrifices that will be made. And so we want to pray for them because they will be called on.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of When You Care Enough to Serve the Very Best. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of When You Care Enough to Serve the Very Best.
Was always lifting somebody else up. He was always lifting somebody else up. Is that your testimony today? Are you a caring person that lifts up others? In this second chapter of the book of Philippians, Paul says to the Philippians that I wish I could have come to you, but I'm in jail. And because I'm in jail, I can't come to you right now. But there's going to come a day when I hope that I can come. But in the meantime, in between time, that I'm sending Timothy, who is my son. And he will care for you just like I would care for you if I was there. And I just want to let you know there's also Epaphroditus, who is my fellow soldier. And he has a heart for you because you ministered to him. Paul said that Epaphroditus was sick. And he was almost sick unto the point of death because he was laboring in the gospel. And Paul said at the same time that Epaphroditus got sick, I got sick. And we had sorrow upon sorrow. But we still had a heart. In the midst of our sickness, we still had a heart for you. See, sometimes, saints, as you look at yourself, as you look at these individuals here sitting up front, what you will find out that they will be wounded healers. There's sometimes that I feel sick in my body. There's sometimes that my back hurts. There's sometimes that I'm dealing with something that's discouraging or weighing me down. And then I'll get a call that I have to go somewhere and minister to somebody and pray with them, read scripture, give them a word of encouragement. That here I am, a wounded individual, dealing with my own hurts, dealing with my own wounds. And I got to try to go and heal somebody else. Paul was a wounded healer. And these individuals that are before you today, they are human just like you are. They have families just like you do. They have bodies of flesh and bodies of clay just like you do. They're going to hurt. They're going to get discouraged. They're going to get down and out. And yet still, they'll get that call one day that somebody under their family shepherd plan passed away, or somebody in their family shepherd plan went to be in the hospital. And somehow they got to put their wounds behind them. And they got to go reach out and minister to the person that's hurting. Paul said, we are wounded healers. Wounded healers. But I find sometimes that it's the wounded healer that makes the best doctor. It's that one who has been through the crucible of pain and tribulation, that one who has been beaten by adversity and tried by tribulation. It's that individual that is able to minister out of their pain and out of their own grief. And so we are wounded healers. Paul said, we care about you, and we care enough only to serve the very best. First of all, he says that we care as a sacrifice. The sacrifice. Very interesting in verse 17. Look at that if you would. Paul says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you. Paul's going back to the Old Testament concept of the drink offering. And in the drink offering, what would happen is that the priest would take the animal, cut up the animal, put it on the altar, allow the fire to consume the sacrifice. And at the end of the sacrifice, they would take a vial or a vask of wine or something, and they would pour it all over the sacrifice. And after that, a plume of smoke would rise into the air. Look what Paul says. Paul says that you at Philippi have labored. You have served the Lord. You have reached out to others. You have ministered to others. And what am I? You are the sacrifice. You have given yourself. You have laid it on the line. And I'm just, watch this, the drink offering that's poured on top of you. The sacrifice. Paul talks about if you care enough to serve only the very best, that there is a sacrifice. You know, I tell the story in one of my sermons about a lady who had a party for her young son. And she had asked some clowns to come over and entertain them. And for some reason, the clowns got detained and they weren't there. And the party started to be a flop. The kids started getting restless. They started getting anxious. And, you know, they were doing things that kids do. And the lady just saw that the party was going down quickly. About that time, there were two homeless guys that knocked on the door, and they asked if there was something they could do to earn some money. And she said there was a pile of wood out in back, and that if they would go chop the wood, that she would pay them $50. And so they were out there chopping the wood, and all of a sudden, the kids began to cheer, and they began to get excited, and the lady looked out the window, and one of the homeless guys was doing somersaults and flips and back going over his back and all kind of gymnastics and gyrations. And he was out there laying on the ground, rolling around, and the kids were just having a great time, and they were cheering. And so she went up to the other homeless guy, and she said, hey, that was great. You know, that's entertaining. The kids really enjoyed it. If I give you guys another $50, do you think he would do that? And she said, I don't know. I'll go ask him. And so he went over there. The guy was rolling around on the ground. He said, hey, that lady wants to know if you'll cut off another finger for $50. Can you imagine the guy on the ground? What's the first thing to go to his mind? Oh, no, not another sacrifice. Oh, no, not another finger. You see, sometimes, as Paul says here, if we're going to serve the very best, that we have to be willing to sacrifice. He said, not only were the Philippians a sacrifice, but I was the drink offering that was poured out. And sometimes we are called on to sacrifice. There's been several times that I've had to get up out of my bed late at night because I got a call of somebody in the hospital that didn't expect to make it through the evening. Now, I don't sleep good anyway. Very difficult for me to sleep. You know, most of the time I'm up. And so when I get to sleep good and get a call, that's a sacrifice. That's a sacrifice. But if we're going to be what Paul says here in this second chapter of Philippians, that we have to be willing to sacrifice. That these individuals up here, there will be sacrifices that will be made. And so we want to pray for them, because they will be called on to sacrifice. The second thing that Paul points out in this passage is the Son. Notice what he says in verse 20. He said, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Look what he says here. He says, for all seek their own, none the things which are Jesus Christ, but you know the proof of him that as a son with the father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. So what do we see here? We see that Paul said, I can't come, but I'm going to send my son. And notice what he says in verse 20. He says, I have no one who is like-minded. That word like-minded means actually of the same soul or the same heart that I am. What was Paul saying? Paul said, I love you. You know, when I went on my missionary trips, I led you to the Lord. I discipled you. You know, we started the church there at Philippi, and now I'm in prison. And I so much desire to come back and minister to you. But I can't because I'm here in jail. But I'm going to send somebody, Timothy. And when he comes, it's going to be just like I was there. He has the same heart that I have. He has the same soul that I have. And so as we think about caring enough to serve only the very best, we have to keep in mind the Son. What is the character of the Son? Watch this. Don't miss this. That the Son has the heart of who? The Son has the heart of the Father. When you go out and you live your life, you are representing the Father. People should see in you the heart of the Father. One that cares for the hurting, one that is concerned about those who are down and out, that they see the heart of the Father in you. And so often, as God's people go out, they don't demonstrate the heart of the Father. I must confess that there are times, going back to that whole idea of being wounded healers, that when we are called on to heal somebody else, sometimes in the process of getting to where we are going to help somebody else, we have a bad testimony along the way. We're on the way to minister to the wounded, but we disrespect and dishonor everybody along the way to get to the wounded. And the heart of the Son is to have the heart of the Father. That when the Father's heart hurts, that our heart hurts. Jesus said, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And a lot of us want to think, well, I want to see God. I want to see God. And Jesus wasn't saying, when you see me, you've seen the Father. He wasn't talking about a physical presentation of the Father. He said, when you see me love the harlot, you've seen the Father. When you see me have compassion on the blind, you have seen the Father. When you see me bring peace in the midst of a turbulent situation, you have seen the Father. And so God wants us to have the heart of the Son. And the heart of the Son is to represent the Father. And so these individuals that sit here today, they are representing the Father. And look what it says here. Now this is deep. And I don't know if this was a problem in the church at Philippi or if this was a problem with saints in general. But look at verse 21. He said, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. That's a powerful statement. What about you this morning? Would that statement be true of you? Are you seeking your own? You know, I've had people that ask me, how can I become a deaconess? And I've talked to them and tried to investigate further and asked them, well, why do you want to be a deaconess? Because I want to wear my white dress on the first Sunday. For all seek their own, not the things that are Christ. Why do you want to be a deacon? Why do you want to be a deaconess? Why do you want to be a minister? Because you want to get your name in lights? Because your name is going to be on the program, on the bulletin? Because your name is going to be on the marquee? Because people are going to look up to you and praise you? Why do you want to be a leader? Why do you want to be a servant? See, if you have the attitude of the Son, that you are not seeking your own, but you are seeking the things of Jesus Christ. The legend is told of the disciples as they walked along one day, that Jesus told them all to pick up a stone. And John picked up a big stone. And Peter picked up a little stone. And they walked for miles and miles, and Jesus stopped and turned all their stones into bread. And Peter had a little stone, so he got a little piece of bread. John had a big stone, so he got a big piece of bread. Sometime later, they were walking along again. Jesus told him to pick up a stone. Peter went and found the biggest stone that he could find. And he began to carry that stone. And he began to labor it, and he was huffing and puffing and sweating as he carried the stone. They came to the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus said, throw your stones in the lake. Peter said, what's going on with that, Jesus? I don't understand. He got a little attitude. He said, the first time you told us, you turned them to bread, and now you tell us to throw them into a lake. I don't understand. Jesus looked at Peter and said, who did you carry the stone for? For me or for you? Who are you carrying the stone for this morning? As a deacon, who are you carrying the stone for this morning? As a deaconess, who are you carrying the stone for this morning? As a minister, who are you carrying the stone for this morning? As a son, we represent the heart of the Father, and we do the work and the will of the Father. And then finally, Paul was the sacrifice. Timothy was the son, Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus, who was sick unto death. What was he? Look what it says in verse 25. Yet I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in the Lord, and in labor, and what? Fellow soldier. We have the sacrifice, we have the son, and we have the soldier. Epaphroditus was a soldier. He was the one that fought the battle. He was the one that fought the good fight. He was the one that got sick unto death. He almost died, and yet and still he was laboring in the gospel. He was a soldier. As we think about soldiers, there's a couple things that we see in this. First of all, we see that in verse 25 that they're in the battle, that he was a soldier in the battle, that God, and you know, to realize this, to realize this, that, and I'm going to go here in a second, but I'm going to say this now before I get there, is that the minute, you know, now a deacon, deaconess, minister is no different than anybody else. Yeah, they all of a sudden, when they get ordained, they don't all of a sudden receive some kind of special flesh, right? They still have the same flesh that they had before they got ordained, all right? And so when you look at that, the one thing, I'm going to tell you one thing that happens. You can guarantee this, that whenever somebody is set apart for a specific service, I'm going to tell you one thing. Satan draws an X. Now, see, I probably should have waited till this service is over to tell him this. But Satan draws an X, and he's after him now. He's after him. What? This deacon, he didn't do this. This thing, what do the deacons do anyways? Man, I can't believe that person was a deaconess, and they walk right. There's an X on them now. Why? Because I didn't hear too many. I never heard in the past now. I might be wrong. I never heard in the past about Joe Christian coming out of the bar. But I heard about Deacon so-and-so coming out. Why is it all right for Joe Christian to come out, but it's not all right for Deacon so-and-so? Why? Because, see, a little different now, right? A little different. Satan is after him. They become a target now. They didn't even speak to me. Well, you know, the church member over here didn't speak to you either, right? They walk right by you every Sunday, right? But now, there's an X on them. Satan got them. He got them singled out. He got them over here on this shelf. And now, so we do say in that there is a higher calling. That there's a greater accountability. There's no question about that, that there is a greater accountability. But I just, as I close this message today, let me just give you not only these individuals here, but the whole congregation. Let me give you a couple things to keep in mind that as a soldier that we can take heart in and take stock in. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to say this and I'm done. That because there is this higher calling, and because they are a higher target. You know, I was in a workshop here years ago, and I read a quote in one of the books that we were using, and it says, the nail that sticks the highest gets pounded the hardest. The nail that sticks the highest gets pounded the hardest. And that the one at the top, when you come up to the leadership, that you become a lightning rod for criticism, you become a lightning rod for attack. And so there needs to be some things that happen that we understand. Like I said, I'm going to say this and I'm done. The first thing, in Ephesians 6, Paul says that when we ascend to this position, first of all, we have spiritual strength. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I'm here to tell you today, all y'all sitting on this front row, you can't do this in your own strength. You're going to get upset. You're going to lose your cool. All right. You got to do it in the strength of the Lord. You got to do it in his might, in his power. You know, people are going to take advantage of saying things to you that they wouldn't have said to you any other time. I get so much said to me because I'm the pastor, all right, that I'm sure that it's not being said to other people. But, you know, these things are going to be said to you, and sometimes they're not going to come to the pastor, but they're going to come to you. And some of y'all already know what I'm talking about because you've already experienced it. But you got to be strong in the Lord. You know, you got to be strong in the Lord. You know, I shared the testimony one time. I had somebody come up to me and said, "Yo, man, you need to get a different hat. That hat is too small for your head." Not old Bill Glaze back in the day, right? Back in the day, right? Now, I feel that, you know, what this, you know, this is my pastor. You know, I want my pastor to be straight. I want him to look good or whatever, you know. So they came up and said that to me, right? Paul said, "Be strong in the Lord." Be strong in the Lord. And notice he said, in the power of his might, right? So we have we have spiritual strength. And then look right here. We have a spiritual suit. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That every day when you get up, you should pray the armor of God. You should read Ephesians 6 and ask the Lord to suit you up. You know, because many people are going on the front line battle with a Hawaiian shirt, flip-flops, and a lemonade drink in their hand. And they're trying to do battle. No, my brothers and sisters, you got to suit up. You got to put on the whole armor of God. You got to put on that breastplate of righteousness. You got to take the shield of faith. You got to have the sword of the Spirit. You got to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You got to have on the helmet of salvation. You got to have on your loins girded with righteousness. And then he says, above all of that, pray with all prayer. Pray with all prayer. So you have a spiritual suit. And then finally, you have spiritual sight. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So when you're sitting down and you start getting opposition, just realize that that person right there is not the enemy. That there's a greater battle going on. And we need to have spiritual sight. We need to be able to look beyond the situation that we see right here and to realize that there's a whole battle going on in the heavenly places. And if we are going to have victory, that we have to have spiritual sight. And that I realize that you are not my enemy. I realize that you are not my opponent, but there's a greater opponent, and that God is allowing this to work on me and take me through so that I can become that sharper tool in the kingdom of God. And so it is when you care only enough to serve the very best. Servant sacrifices the son and the soldier. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. And Lord, we thank you for this time where we can come and hear the word of God. Thank you for Paul's plea in Philippians chapter 2, where he was in prison and he desired to go be with the Philippians, but he couldn't go. But he said that he would be poured out as the sacrifice upon him, and that he would send his son, Timothy, who would represent his very heart, and how that Epaphroditus was one of the soldiers that labored in the gospel with him. So Lord, help us to see if we're going to be effective servants, Lord, that we have to sacrifice, we have to be a son and a soldier. Lord, we ask that there's one today that is here that does not know Jesus Christ and the pardon of their sin. We ask that you would move in their heart, move in their spirit today, and that they would come and give their life to Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's somebody here today that's looking for a church home and this is the place where you have called them, Lord, I ask that you would move in their spirit, and as we give this song of invitation, that they would come. Have your way, Lord, as we commit this invitation to you. In Christ's name we pray.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The King is Coming. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, When You Care Enough to Serve the Very Best, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request When You Care Enough to Serve the Very Best. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request When You Care Enough to Serve the Very Best. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.